Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name, the one we worship this holy day. Amen. I want to talk today in our sermon about the gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 5. We pray as we consider the word of God. We pray, Lord, open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts always to receive your word. Plant your word deep into our hearts that it grow and produce faith and love and joy and peace. Help us now to listen well, to concentrate on your word by your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to begin, dear friends, with a question. And I want to hear two answers within 2 seconds. All right, my challenge today, I'm going to ask an easy question. I want to hear two answers within 2 seconds. We're going to have to redo part of our service. Are you ready for the question?
Yes.
Two answers in 2 seconds. Who are you? You failed. Now, the kids may know. You're a child of God. Very good. That's good. It's not what I want to hear right now, specifically. Who are you? Wayne, we have to redo the gospel lesson. So we have to carry the cross back down and reread the gospel lesson. We won't do that, but Jesus says it right there. Matthew 5, who are you? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You should have had that in 2 seconds. Say with me, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Wow. That's spectacular. That's wonderful. That's incredible. For Jesus, the Son of God, to call us sinful people, us humble, ordinary people, common people, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. What's he teaching? That's my topic for a few minutes today. What's Christ teaching in these words? There are three things he's teaching us. Number one, our great, great, glorious identity as Christians, as God's children. He's teaching us the great, great influence that we have in this world, whether we know it or not. And he's teaching us the great, great importance of the Holy Spirit, that we remain salt and that we remain light that shines and not hiding in our basket. First of all, the Lord is teaching us our great, great, glorious identity, our status as Christians, as those that believe in Jesus, as the baptized. Who are we? He says, you are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Now, notice one thing before I talk about what these two things mean briefly. He does not say you should be the salt of the earth. You ought to be the light of the world, as if you're not yet. He doesn't say you will be the light or you will be the salt if you obey certain things and do certain things. There's none of that. No conditions. No, you have to do something. He simply says you are right now as you sit here in the pew. Trials, tribulations, sin, guilt, regret, fear, all that we are as humans. He says you, as you believe in me, trust me, you are salt, you are light right now in the pew. Not will be, could be, but you are. It's our identity right now as believers in Jesus. And it is powerful. And now we must pass this on to our children and know it ourselves of who we are in Christ. Salt. Now, salt is always in the Bible a symbol of purity. When a Jew or a Gentile, a Greek, would think of salt purity, they considered salt the purest element on earth, made of the sun and the sea. The Greeks called salt a gift of the gods. It was so pure and so holy. We know in the Old Testament when they made covenants, you made a contract with God or with somebody else, you used salt. Salt was involved to say, I make this covenant with a pure heart, with pure intentions. I plan to keep my end of the covenant. And when they made sacrifices, when you offered a lamb or an animal to God in sacrifice, you added salt on that lamb or on that animal to say, God, I give this with a pure heart. Not because I have to, not with evil, but a pure heart, a pure mind, a pure sacrifice may it be to you, God. So I add salt. We know a little story in the Old Testament of Elisha. Elisha was a prophet, and when he begins his ministry, he's in Jericho, and the water in Jericho is bad water. It's undrinkable. So what does Elisha do? Take a wild guess. Elisha throws salt in the water, and the water is healed. The water is purified. They can now drink it. So salt is purity, holiness, sacredness. So when Jesus says to us who believe, are baptized, you're the salt of the earth, he's saying you right now are pure. You are more pure than salt. You are holy. You are perfect. God the Father sees no sin in you. Sin is not counted against you. You're cleansed. You're pure. You're washed. How can that be? Because of the blood of Jesus that is shed on Calvary's cross. That's how we can be pure. Salt. Implied in Jesus' words is the cross. Often Christ is talking about his cross underneath his words. They must have asked back then, and we asked, how can I be pure? How can I be holy? How am I salt when I sin so much? Because he would shed his blood. Jesus teaches these words in Matthew 5. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. But the real Sermon on the Mount is not Matthew 5 through 7. The real Sermon on the Mount is chapters later when he dies on Mount Calvary. And there's his real sermon. When he sheds blood and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In essence, he's saying, you are salt. You're forgiven. Reminds me of a story of a man who went to see his priest. He had a big smile on his face. He was grinning, big smile. He's happy. And he said to his priest, Father, you know, I just spent a week in wild living. You know, I sinned, I drank and partied and smoked and cursed and swore and lied and stole. I just spent a whole week in wild living, smiling and grinning. And the priest said, here's what you got to do. You take 7 lemons and squeeze the juice out of the 7 lemons and drink that lemon juice. And the man said, Father, will that take my sin away? And of course the father said, no, but it'll wipe that silly smile off your face. Yes. We're not here to take lemon juice. If you're not repentant, maybe take some lemon juice. We don't give lemon juice in the church. What takes away sin is the love of God in Jesus. And shed blood on a cross, that's what takes away sin. And that puts a smile on our face, for we are redeemed and pure. Then he adds, you're the light of the world. This is even better. I mean, which is better, to be called salt or light? I think light is even better. Because light is beautiful. Light is glorious. It's radiant. And so implied in these words, he says, you are the light of the world. Not you will be, but you are right now. He is saying, you are beautiful to God the Father. Not just clean and pure, but you're beautiful, you're radiant, you're gorgeous to God the Father. You're light. Implied is heaven. Implied is the resurrection of the body. Implied is eternal life. And already, now listen, as we have faith in Christ and we are baptized, already as we sit in the pew, we have eternal life. In the Father's eyes, we sit at the Father's right hand already. And we are glorious. We're resurrected already. And we shine like a light already. That's who we are in Christ already right now today. February 16, 2014. That's who we are as Christians. Radiant, beautiful light. Jesus calls himself the light of the world. And now he calls us light. We are just like him in the Father's eyes. He's light and so I am light. He is righteous, I'm righteous. He's holy, I'm holy. All of us who abide in Jesus through faith. That's powerful. Reminds me of kind of a wedding. It's Valentine's weekend. My 2 daughters getting married last few years. And then my beautiful wife of nearly 28 years. You know, you see a bride walk into the church. And people do look at the dress. Beautiful white dress normally. Ah, it's beautiful. Look at that white dress. But there's more than just the white dress. When I looked at Ann 27 and a half years ago, I didn't just look at the white dress. You look at the face. And ah, the smile. She's radiant, you say. You're not talking about a dress. You're talking about her demeanor, her appearance. She smiles. She grins. Her eyes are bright. She's beautiful. Wow, she's radiant. She's light. That's the idea of light. We are the bride of Christ. We are clothed in the white robe. We're salt, clean and pure, but we are radiant. We're gorgeous. He smiles on us, and so we smile back. Do you know how God feels about you? How beautiful and radiant and gorgeous and pure you are through Jesus and His blood. Purity. Salt. Light. Secondly, He's teaching us our influence in the world. Salt and light do not serve the purpose of themselves. How many of you have a nice big salt shaker on a table, and when people come to visit, look at my salt. Isn't that a wonderful salt shaker I have? Don't you want to look at my salt? You don't. Salt isn't meant for itself. It's here to serve other things. Food, flavor, preserving things in a hidden way. And light is much the same way. When you enter church, you don't look at our lights. So look at the lights. You might glance at them, but light is there to illuminate everything else so you see everything else. We don't normally look at the sun. It's too bright. We hardly ever look at the sun. But the sun serves the purpose of illuminating everything else. We can see everything else. And so that's us. We are here not to be a lump of salt. A lump of salt is terrible. Salt must spread out to be of any use. We must spread out after church. Spread out in our occupations and our callings in life, among our family and friends and enemies. Spread out and have influence. That's why we're here. In a humble way, in a hidden way. And we're a light not to draw attention to ourselves. People don't see our good works and glorify us. Not at all. They see our good deeds and glorify the Father. For we are a light that points to the Father. Go to the Father. The influence we have. Notice where we are to be salt and light. He says, you are the salt of the what? The earth. You're the light of the what? The whole world. This is powerful responsibility given to the church. You're to have influence over the whole earth, not just Knoxville, not just America, but the whole world, all 7 billion people, every continent, every nation. That's the mission of the church. That's the influence that we are to have over the whole earth, the whole globe. We got to think bigger, folks, than just right around here. We think big, we think of the world. And when Christ says these words in Matthew 5, he has 12 disciples, a little band of followers. They must have thought, how in the world are we going to have influence in the whole earth? We live here in Palestine. The responsibility given to the Christian church to influence the whole world with the love of God. When Jesus says you, this is important to note, the Greek really emphasizes the word you. It's as if Christ is saying, you and you alone are the salt of the earth. You and you alone are the light of the world. Nobody else and nothing else is salt except you because you have me. Nothing else is light. Nothing else will give people the direction to heaven except you because you have me and you alone. The Pharisees are not light. They're not salt. The Sadducees, the scribes, the Roman government, the kings, the leaders, they're not light. They're not salt. They can't really help you. You Christians, you who believe in Jesus, you alone are the hope of the world because we have the gospel. You realize that? We and we alone are the hope of the world because we have Jesus. We can hide it. We can become unsalty again. We can salt this earth and light this world. He's saying, you and you alone are it. I'm relying on you. And he gives us all the power to do it. What does salt do? Salt flavors food. Salt preserves food from rotting and decaying. And so as the salt of the earth, we live holy, pure, humble lives in this world. Wherever we go, we might stop the world from evil and immorality. Don't just complain about the evil. It's so evil out there. It's so immoral. Do something about it, Christian. Live a pure and holy life and speak up for your Lord with boldness and love in your heart rather than sit and complain the whole time. Everybody else curses and swears. You don't curse and swear. In your workplace. Everybody else gossips and slanders each other and backbites. You don't do it. You're the salt of the earth. Everybody else sleeps around. You don't sleep around. Everybody else is greedy and loves money. You don't love money and you're not greedy. That's how you're the salt. You live a different life. And people see it. You know, we had these ball players arrested Butch Jones has a little tarnish to his great record. You heard the news early in the week. Football players arrested and cited. Just an illustration. I'm sure you had some Christians there at that big party. Just what if a football player, a Christian, would have spoke up and said, let's stop drinking. Let's do the right thing. Let's all go home and turn down our music and go home and act like adults and Christian people here. Just one ball player, one person maybe saying that could have changed everything. Who knows? But everybody was probably too scared and went along with the crowd. Your light. Salt is for this foul, evil world. Light is for false doctrine. It's our double role. We live a pure, holy life in this foul, evil, immoral world, and we're a light to dispel the darkness of false teaching. That's light. We share the truth that we are sinners who are saved by the blood of Jesus, and that Jesus is the only way to heaven, and we're bold about it. We dispel all the heresy, all the false teaching, all the wrong, bad, evil religions that lead to hell, and we speak the truth. Jesus is Lord. He is Savior. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life, and there is no other. And so we dispel all that false teaching. Light is for falseness. Salt is for foulness of the world. You know, people were asked the question, if you could have a superpower, what superpower would you want? What superpower would the kids want? What would you want? Top three on the list. Number one was the ability to read minds. I'm not sure about that. Read someone's mind? People want that power. Number two, being invisible. That may not be bad, since I'm a big guy. I can be invisible somewhere, all right? Reading minds. And the third one was time travel. The ability to travel between time. All right, great. It's not going to happen. Do we realize we have a superpower as Christians? We have a godly power, and it's called love. That's the true power on this earth, the love of God and Jesus. And that love is given to us, poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We have power. We're salt. We're light. You want a superpower? You have love. Go forth and love your enemies. And forgive 70 times, 7 times. And serve and help. And give, and give some more, and give some more, and love some more, and love some more when no one else loves. That's the power of the church, given by God. Last of all, he's teaching us the importance of the Holy Spirit to finish up today. The Lord knows we are salt, we are light, but we're sinners still. And it's so easy for us as salt to lose our taste, to lose our saltiness and become worldly again, and then we're useless to God. We can lose our faith, lose our distinctiveness as Christians, and just live an evil life along with everybody else, and then we're useless. And the Lord knows as light that we can want to hide. We want to hide in the corner, hide in our house, not let anybody know we're a Christian. We don't want to stand up for Christ. We just want to hide somewhere and not let people know. We want to hide our light in our basket, so to speak. So he addresses these problems. He knows we have them. He says, if salt loses its saltiness, what use is it? It's thrown out. And so he gives us a great gift. That's the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Christian church. He gives us the Word of God, the sacraments. And as we hear the Word of God, receive sacraments, here God renews us, strengthens us, that we remain pure. We remain holy. We're strong in our faith. We can live for Christ. This is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. The importance of, or else if we don't, we'll lose our saltiness. We'll lose our taste. And then we're thrown out. And that happens to a lot of Christians who wander off in apathy and laziness, become worldly again. They have worldly values, worldly morals. Or they're like the world. And then they're a horrible witness because they call themselves a Christian. And they're not at all. We have the Holy Spirit, the church, to keep us strong. You're the light of the world, he says. Another problem we have is fear. We want to hide. I don't want people to know I'm a Christian. They may say something about me. I'm scared. And so he says, I didn't light you. You're not a light to hide under a basket. You're a light to shine. And so he gives us boldness. And we have the love of God here. We have the Word of God here, the Spirit here, to give us continued boldness, because I'm scared too. To give us the boldness and confidence to live for Christ in our world and to speak of Christ and to live for Christ. He gives us that kind of confidence and boldness. The importance of the Holy Spirit. staying in the church, that we might remain salt and light. You know, I read, it's Valentine's weekend, I read a very romantic story, a true story, of a couple that got married a few days ago. You know where they got married? I'm like this guy. They got married, true story, they got married at a bacon festival. This is a good guy. Bacon festival. And in his vows, the man said to his beloved wife, "Honey, my love for you is second only to my love for bacon." Now that's a romantic guy, huh? My love for you is second only to my love for bacon? I'm sure that marriage is on a good foundation, isn't it? I hope they were just being silly. Here we learn. Here in God's house, we learn that God's love is second to nothing. His love for us is greater than his love for his own life. Did you know that? God's love for you is greater than his love for his own life. It's greater than his love for himself. How can that be? God loves me more than he loves himself. You better believe it. For he shed his blood on a cross and gave his very life, all that he is for you. And we hear of that love and hear of that love and hear of that love and hear it again and learn it again and hear it again in church, that we might remain salt and remain light. We might be bold and confident and go forth and live a holy life. So I'll ask again, two words in 2 seconds. Who are you? You guys are really quite weak. You are the, kids say it, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That's who we are in Christ, we who believe in our baptism. Who we are. Now, go forth and show it every day by how you live. Amen. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
That was loud. Let's stand.